One of the things I want to share with you that I think is important, because we're always trying to work out we're trying to build a better product for worship, especially during this season of the pandemic. So we're coming pretty close to the hanging of the greens, right? So the hanging of the greens is going to take place the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And instead of there being a time during the weekend when we're going to decorate the church with the hanging of the greens, it's going to be an actual worship service. So the early service and the late service will be held here in the sanctuary. And we are following CDC guidelines. I've contacted Isabel Ramirez, who is here in her company, Clean the Church. And so we're going to do the guidelines of cleaning all the pews, right? We're going to clean all the pews, still do the social distancing. The only thing that we will not have are the cushions. But I've seen you at the football games, and you have stadium seats, cushions, right? So bring your stadium cushions, right, your seats, so that if you need something soft to sit on, right, you have those. Bring those with you and root for your favorite team, all right? So that's going to be on, I believe, the 29th, the fifth Sunday of the month. On that fifth Sunday of the month, the Mesa Ministerial Alliance is going to have their fifth Sunday worship service in the park, which is a good thing. We haven't had it all year. So all the churches are going to worship together and have that. So we're looking forward to it. Okay. Since the pandemic happened, people have been using that technology app called Zoom, right? Y'all are familiar with that technology app called Zoom. Before the pandemic, there were over 10 million users of Zoom. 10 million last year. This year, there are over 200 million plus subscribers, users of Zoom today. Now, last year, businesses were the primary users of Zoom. Now, Zoom is used for yoga classes, birthday parties. It keeps families connected that are separated from work, right? Grandparents can keep in touch with grandkids, okay? So Zoom is now a household word and is here to stay. Our church uses Zoom for its meetings, right? Annual conference, okay? Annual conference was held over Zoom, and it lasted only 4 hours. So a four-day annual conference went to a four-hour annual conference, which is fine with me, but I did miss eating at Snoopy's in Corpus Christi. That's all I'm saying. Ah, I know. Gosh. But it's a wonderful app, right? It's a wonderful thing. I remember when I was in Laredo, people used to use Skype. Skype is kind of like Zoom. Zoom's technology, a little bit more advanced. But Skype is still something that people use. So when I was there from 2005 to 2013, I had members of my church there in Laredo who served in the U.S. military. And they would contact me via Skype, right, via Skype, for prayer and Bible study. There was one soldier in particular, a member of my church by the name of John Wesley Marshall, a captain in the U.S. Army. Do you think he was a Methodist, John Wesley Marshall? You betcha, yeah, yeah. So he's a lifelong Methodist, lifelong Methodist. I can't tell you how many, he always told me that, you know, I'm a lifelong Methodist pastor, John Wesley Marshall. Anyway, John Wesley Marshall and I would visit over Skype and have prayer and talk about things that were absolutely phenomenal. It was so interesting to be a part of his life while he was in the Middle East, and was so glad when he came back home. Big stuff. Technology's a wonderful thing. But as much as we like Zoom and those other technology apps that help us to keep in touch, we would like to see each other face to face. We would. We would love to see each other face to face. Which leads us to this morning's Exodus reading that Heidi read for us this morning. Exodus chapter 33, I said 32 earlier, 33 verses 12 through 23. Before I get into verses 12 through 33, I missed the fact that I should have began with verse 11, which happens to be one of my favorite scripture passages in the Bible, one of them. And chapter 33, verse 11 reads this way. That God and Moses would be in the tent of the Lord and would talk to each other face to face as if they were friends. Isn't that good? That God and Moses would visit in the tent of the Lord and visit face to face as if they were friends. I just love that. That image of the idea that Moses and God speaking to each other as if they were friends. But Moses couldn't see God. Okay. Even though it said face to face, it was more virtual, like Zoom or Skype. The time that Moses and God spent together was like our prayer time, our intimate prayer time with the Lord our God. It wasn't actual face-to-face. The scripture teaches us that God is spirit and we worship the Lord our God in spirit and in truth. So God could reveal himself to Moses, and Moses could not see the face of God. So in chapter 33, verse 18 that Heidi read for us, Moses asked God, show me your glory. Let's talk about glory for a little bit. Last Sunday, Terry Wade gave her witness, as did Chris Hicks. Wonderful, wonderful testimonies. And what happened in their testimony, in Terry Wade's testimony, is she referred to God's glory. Now, what is God's glory? Moses says, show me your glory. Well, God's glory is righteousness, faithfulness, truthfulness, uncomplicatedness, undying love, grace, mercy, justice, and kindness. These are God's glory. Can you see those virtues? No, you can't see those virtues. We can't see those virtues. Those virtues can only be witnessed in action. So people saw the virtues of God in the wilderness with Moses, but they could not see the actual face of God. They could only see the manifestations of God's character in God's glory. That's why God sent Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus Christ is the Word made what? Flesh. Right? Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. I know I took a huge leap of several thousand years, but we don't have all afternoon. We don't have all day. So God sent Jesus Christ into the world to be the incarnational manifestation of the glory of God. So we, when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and take upon the life of Jesus in the world today, then we become reflections of the truth of the glory of God in the world. Now, I want to refer to a couple of scripture passages that will help us along the way. John 14, verse 20. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's a mystery. But what it does is it helps us to understand the relationship that we have with God through Jesus. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you, and they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So, when we obey the commandments of God, and I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments, I'm talking about the three greatest commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, which is number one, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are important commandments that we need to abide by, and when we abide by those, then we reflect the glory of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 15, 4 through 5 says, abide in me and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So when we abide in Jesus, we're able to reflect the image of the glory of God in the world today. And when we do that, then we do that other beautiful favorite passage that I love to read besides Exodus 33, verse 11. It's John 15, verse 15. Jesus tells his disciples, I have called you friends. Now, where do we hear that word friends for? Exodus 33, 11. Here is John 15, 11. Jesus tells the disciples, I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I love that. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, Moses and God were talking to each other as friends, but Moses could not see the face of God, the glory of God. The glory of God could only be manifested through deeds, through ways in which God made himself manifest through certain acts, like separating the Red Sea and providing quail and manna in the desert. These are manifestations of the glory of God. Manifestations of the glory of God. Then God sent Jesus into the world, the Word made flesh. And when we have a relationship with Jesus, when we have a relationship with God through Christ, then we become friends of God through Jesus Christ, manifesting the glory of God in the world in which we live. When God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God revealed his name as El Shaddai, which means God Almighty or God of the mountain, depending on the context it said. When God appears to Moses, who does God say he is? I am who I am. I am Yahweh. Okay, I am God of the present. I am God that is here with you now. I am your God. Take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. The presence of God is here and now. Now, all this that I've shared with you doesn't make any There has to be an application to what I've said, because if not, if there's no way to give examples to the application of what I'm sharing with you, then it's just like weighted words and we got to figure it all out. And I wouldn't be a good teacher. I'm of the belief that we are spiritual beings living in a physical world. Now, believe me, I know it when I feel the hammer hit my thumb. So I believe in this physical world, right? I love this physical world, right? Nothing like a chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes, right? I mean, I love a physical world. But we're spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings. And in order to manifest the glory of God that is in the world, then we need to acknowledge the fact that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in our lives, manifesting the glory of God in the world in which we live. So we filter our experiences in such a way. And I'll give you some examples. Last Sunday, Chris Hicks talked about the death of his niece. And she died of brain cancer. And so at the day of her funeral, there was a butterfly that floated around all the people. And it's often said, my mother said this too, that butterflies are not the spirit of that individual. Don't hear that, all right? Don't hear that. But that butterflies are a way that other people, other beings, or God is letting us know that everything's going to be okay. That everything is going to be okay. And I believe that, right? Chris believed that, and he received comfort from seeing that butterfly in their presence. So butterflies are a way that we can see the manifestation of the glory of God, that everything is going to be okay. And it will. I'll go a little deeper. You know, I record the service here on the radio station, KHLB, and I used to go to Brady 3 weeks ago, and I'm just talking into a microphone, and it's being recorded, and I don't know anybody who's listening. So I decided that I was going to quit. I thought, you know, 33 miles one way, 33 miles back, and the only thing good I do is stop at Walmart and pick up something that I think I need. So I really didn't get any benefit of going over there because I made it about me. And so I went to get my hair cut because my hair grows pretty fast, as you know. And so I went to the haircut by Ethan West to get to the barber. And there was a man, and his name was Jay. And he's a rancher, and he was just cutting up. I thought that there was a camera from Hee Haw wanting to do reruns or something, you know, or something that was comical or humorous, because Jay was just guffawking and cutting up. And I got into it, and so did Ethan West. It was just us three, right? And then Jay started talking about his faith and about mission service that he had done when he went to Africa to do Bible studies in a remote part of the Congo. And so I asked Jay after he got his haircut, and he stepped off the chair, and I sat on mine. He stayed there, and as I was getting my haircut, we were talking some more, and I said, Jay, I hear that you're a Christian, but what church do you belong to? And he said, I belong to Cowboy Church in Menard. And I said, well, my name is Peter Aguilar. I'm the pastor of First United Methodist Church in Mason. And I shook his hand. He said, you're the pastor. And I said, what I do? He said, you're the one that preaches in Brady over KNEL, and I listen to you all the time, but you haven't done it the last two Sundays. And, you know, when are you going to come back on? And I said, well, I intend to. That next morning, KNEL called me and says, we want you to come back to start recording the service. And I said, okay, God, I got it. I made it about me, but it's all about you. Forgive me. So I'm starting to record the service again in Brady. Third example. You know that I like to sit in the front yard of the parsonage, all right? I sit in the front yard of the parsonage, And I have an eyes of a police officer. I have a mind of a police officer, a law enforcement officer. That's just the way my brain works. My dad was raised, was a policeman. He thinks like that. I think like that. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. I don't judge people. I don't arrest people. But I'm always awake and aware to my surroundings. And so I see the children play a lot in the neighborhood. So I'm always awake and aware to them because people come barreling down the hill, right? And I worry, and so I just am there, and I pay attention to them, and the kids tease my dogs now. They're not afraid of them. My dogs bark and bark and bark, and then they put their hand over the fence, and they lick their hand, and it's just a lot of fun for them. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So I'm sitting in the front of the parsonage, and there's this woman walking down the street. She has sunglasses. And I can tell that she's been crying. You know that feel? You know that when, even though they have sunglasses, you know, the outer part of their face is red, you know? And so she's been crying. And she starts walking to me, and so I get up. And so I go over there, and I ask her if she's okay. And she says, "How do you do it?" And she starts crying even more. And so social distancing, right, 6 feet away, 6.5 feet away. So I give her my bandana, right? I lose another bandana. You can have it, honey. That's all right. So she takes my bandana and she's crying. How do you do it, Pastor Peter? How do I do what? You've got members of your church that are on both sides of the political spectrum. You got people on the left. I'm not saying you're all on the left, but I'm just saying my left, okay? You got people on the right, right? Okay. All right. You got people on the left, on the right, and it says, you still have members of your church that worship together. And I said, yes, we do. I got people on the left and on the right that sing the same hymns, that say the same prayers. You're right. We do that. And that's because we don't give our heart to evil. We don't give our heart to the devil. And I don't listen to the news anymore because every time I listen to the news, it's how bad or how wrong or how sick and how violent the world is. And I said, you need to just turn off the TV. Turn off the freaking TV. Let it go. Quit listening to the news and give your heart to the Lord every day. I bet you listen to the news more than you go to the Lord in prayer. And she said, you're right. I almost asked her if she went to a church where everybody agreed with each other. But then again, I decided not to because then I would have been taking back what I've been talking about, right? Who of us ever gets our way 100% of the time? And then I said, Donald Trump and Joe Biden are not my saviors. They're not. Now, I have pretty strong political opinions, and I will vote, but they are not my saviors. Your savior and my savior is Jesus Christ the Lord. And she was crying over the vitriolic, acidic, bantering that is going on in our country today. And we can't let the devil manifest that evil in the world in which we live. We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to manifest the glory of God through Jesus Christ, which is truthfulness, righteousness, faithfulness, grace, mercy, justice, and undying love. Everywhere. Wherever we go get our hair cut, wherever we go to the salon, wherever we see trouble and heartache and joy and celebration, We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to manifest the glory of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, may it be so even more during this time as we live out our faith in the name of the risen Christ. As always, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.